Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
All right, we are going to get into God's Word. So if you've got a Bible, you can get that out. And we're in a series leading up to Christmas called Christmas in the Worst of Circumstances. And I think we can all agree that there are times where life just doesn't go the way we want it to go, especially at Christmas time. Amen? And so we're going through this series and we're highlighting the different Advent themes. Themes like joy and love and peace and hope, those things. And today, we are going to be discussing peace. And so if you have your Bible, you can go to Luke chapter 2, but I've also got it on the screen for us. And so if you don't get to it, you can go ahead there, Darcy, and put that up for us. This is Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And as you're getting yourselves there, one of my bookmarks fell out as I was making my way up here for a later verse. And I want to make sure I have that set up so that we're not in any danger later on. Okay, there we go. So Luke chapter 2, verse 14 says this. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." And so you can see that I've got a couple different things there bolded and highlighted. We're talking about peace, and you'll notice that in this particular translation, this would be the NIV, that it's peace for on whom his favor rests. Now, there is some debate depending on which translation you're reading. Does the peace of God apply to the whole world and it's kind of universal, or is it just for those of us who are following Jesus on whom his favor rests? Because depending on your translation, it may say something slightly different, and you may come away with a different idea or interpretation. But I put this one up here because in either case, whether God's peace is for everybody or for just the church, I think we can all agree that there are times where we go, "Really? Peace? Are you sure, God? Because it doesn't seem very peaceful right now." We can look at our own circumstances and feel like there is a lack of peace. There are some of us who are just crippled by anxiety. Our issues in life have just weighed us down, and we're overwhelmed, and we think to ourselves, "God, where is the peace that you promised?" Some of us are afraid. We see fear just everywhere in our culture and society. We see it trickle into the church and trickle into our own hearts at times, and we wonder, "God, where is the peace that you've promised when I'm feeling afraid or when these fearful things are taking place?" Some of us, our marriages or our families are just kind of messy, and we're at home and we feel like we're walking on eggshells all the time. If I say the wrong thing, if I do the wrong thing, it's going to cause an outburst and they're going to get mad, and I don't want that to happen, so I'm going to be very, very careful. And you just don't feel like there's peace at home. Your house falls apart, your car falls apart, the bills rack up, the economy sucks, there's job loss or there's job uncertainty and instability, and you just look at your circumstances and go, "Really, God? You said peace for our world or for me as someone who follows you, and I don't feel that. My circumstances don't feel peaceful. Do I lack God's peace? Am I outside of his favor? Is this really legit?" And then we can do a little bit of a historic deep dive, and we notice that there seems to be a lack of peace in the early church. That as soon as Jesus releases the disciples to say, okay, go make disciples, go through all the world, baptize them, so on and so on. It doesn't look very peaceful in those early chapters of Acts, does it? There's persecution. Guys like Stephen and other disciples, they're killed, they're martyred. One of them is put to death with a sword. He's just like impaled. Like, that's pretty peaceful, right? Not really. And then we look throughout history, whether it's a kind of church history or even just world history, where we see a lack of peace in so many areas of our world. We see war. We see political attacks. We see violence. We see mass killings and genocides. We see instability and conflict and division amongst people. And it seems like, even for those of us who follow Jesus, it doesn't seem like our lives are very peaceful when we are up against persecution and when we're up against violence and we're up against things that are just lacking peace. And we begin to wonder, whether it's by our circumstances or by what we're facing in the world or what we're observing in the world, we start to get in our mind the same kind of temptation that Satan gave to Eve in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really say you would have peace? It's not looking peaceful. And we can begin to doubt, and we begin to fall apart, and we begin to go, God, where's the peace? You promised peace at the Advent story, at the Christmas story. The angels show up and tell these shepherds, there's going to be peace. And I'm not seeing it, and I'm not feeling it, and I'm not experiencing it. God, what is going on? We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 26. It should be verses 3 and 4. That's my fault for not putting there. So Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. It says this, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." And then if we flip to John chapter 14 and look at verse 27, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, giving them an idea of what to expect as you now go into the world, and as he goes to the cross, and as he will return to heaven at some point. He says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you." My peace, the peace of Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things I just want to help us all understand what these verses are talking about. In Isaiah, we learn in verse 4 that we can have peace because God is our source of peace. He is that rock. We can trust in God and experience peace because God is peace. Amen? Okay. We also learn in Isaiah that this peace of God that we are to have and experience, once it's understood in our mind, we can start to interpret our reality. We can start to interpret our circumstances through a very different lens. And so God is our source of peace, but he also changes our mindset so that we can have a mind that interprets our reality through the lens of peace. Amen? Okay? And then in John, what Jesus is saying there is that he's giving us peace, but it's not as the world gives peace. It's a very different kind of peace altogether. I think often we look to the world and demand it give us peace. I want my job to be secure. I want politics to be like on my level and on my page, like do what I want them to do. I want there to be no wars, and I want my family to not have conflict. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you peace, and it's not going to be as the world gives it. It's going to be completely different. So God is our source of peace. He changes how we interpret our reality, and he gives us peace in a way that's different from the world. Are we all together on this so far? So let's boil it all together to one point, and here it is. Go ahead, Darcy. Our peace comes from God and not our circumstances. Our peace comes from God and not our circumstances. When we're looking at our anxiety or our fear or our problems at home, our problems at work, the economy and politics and what's happening in our world and all these different things that seem like they're not peaceful. Those are all circumstances. Those are all circumstances. You could have a peaceful family. You could have an unpeaceful family. You could have a peaceful job. You could have an unpeaceful job. Our world could have peace somehow. Most of the time, not. It's all circumstantial. That if we look to the world to give us peace, it's just going to do this all the time. Like, we may have a little bit, and then it's gone, and then we may have a little bit, and then it's gone, and it's just changing all the time based on circumstances. But our peace comes from God, who never changes, amen? If he's that source of peace, that means we're not to look for peace in our circumstances or for our circumstances to provide us that peace. That's a fool's game. If I'm relying on other people to give me peace, it ain't happening. It might, but most likely it's not. But if I'm looking to God for a peace, do I have it? Absolutely I do. Our peace comes from God and not our circumstances. I like to imagine that the peace of God and our experience of peace with God kind of looks like this picture here. Anyone familiar with this meme? Okay. Some of the young folks are like, yeah, I've seen that before. So in case you've never seen this before, this is called a meme. And it's used all the time for like, okay, my life is just spiraling out of control, but you know, it's fine. Like, my life's a dumpster fire, but hey, all good. No worries. All right, so we got this dog sitting in his living room or kitchen, and everything's on fire, and like, his circumstances suck right now. But he's got the peace of God. It's fine. My life's good. I got God in my heart. I got God changing how I view my reality. Politics can be crazy, my family can be crazy, I can have all these little fires all around me and go, you know what? In spite of my circumstances being unpeaceful, in my heart, in my mind, I have the peace of God. Amen? Peace comes from God and not our circumstances. You can have fires all around you, and some of us probably are going through this, right? Right? We got that anxiety, we got that fear, we got that job loss, we got that economy stuff, we got all kinds of reasons to go, ah, it's all on fire. Or we can just go, I've got God on my side. I've got the peace of God in my heart. I have every reason to panic, and I'm not going to. I have every reason to be afraid, and I'm not going to. Peace comes from God and not our circumstances. And so what does this mean for us? Like, how do we apply this message to our lives? How do we get to this point where we're like able to say, hey, this is fine? How do we get that peace of God in our hearts and in our minds and changing our reality and all these different things? How do we go from panicking and being afraid all the time and to a place where we're like, I'm at peace? Three things. First thing is that we need to change our measurement of how we see peace in our lives. Some of us spend too much time looking at our circumstances and going, okay, as long as I just have A, B, and C put together, I'm going to have peace, okay? Oh, I got that job. Okay, I got peace. Oh, my family's doing well. We got our health. Okay, there's peace. Okay. Oh, money's going well. I got a pay raise, or I got a Christmas bonus. Great. I got some peace now. And we're measuring our peace by our circumstances. We need to stop that. We got to stop measuring our peace by our circumstances and start measuring it by the peace of God. One of those things is eternal. One of those things is all over the place. Which measurement do you want to use? The eternal one. God's peace is everlasting, is eternal. It is not ever changing. So we got to change how we measure our peace. Stop looking to your circumstances. Stop hoping that things will just change for you so that you can feel peace. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that we are to let God's peace rule in our hearts. And I love that word rule. It means God's peace is in charge of your life, is in charge of your heart. That anytime your anxiety or your fear or your circumstances run up against the peace of God, who's in charge? The peace of God is in charge, which means nothing should be robbing you of your peace with God if it is ruling in your heart. Number two, we need to have our mind transformed so that God's peace isn't just that source that is sustaining us, but that it changes our mindset so that we can interpret reality through that different lens. That we have that peace of Christ in our heart, but every now and then there's that battle inside of us, who's in charge, who's ruling. But if my mind is changed too, anytime something wrong happens in my life, I can go, this is fine. I don't have to play a game where I'm like, oh, who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? If my mind is transformed, if my mind is fixed on Jesus, if the peace of God is truly ruling in my heart, I can see my life, I can see my world through a very different lens so that my mindset is completely different as well. And then lastly, number three, we can still trust Jesus with our circumstances. God has a plan for our lives. God wants us to experience peace, love, hope, joy, all those things in the life that's to come after, but also in the here and now. That there are moments where God does grant us peace in our circumstances. And so when we're feeling that lack of peace at our job or in our home or in whatever area where we're just like, oh, it's a big fire, we can actually trust Jesus with those circumstances, and maybe he starts to put those fires out and actually change the circumstances as well. We can trust Jesus with our circumstances because his peace is not just a source of peace so that we have a better mindset, but his peace also changes our lives, changes our world, so that we have a life that is also peaceful, not just for when we're in heaven, but also for here and now. And so we need to trust Jesus with our circumstances. We got to give all these things in our lives that we are trying to manage and surrender them to him. We need to accept what he gives us in return. So if there's still like it's not super ideal, it's not quite meeting your expectation, if God's granting that, if God is giving that, you just take and say, thank you, Lord, for that gift. Thank you, Lord, for that peace. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life and changing things in a way that I didn't see was possible. And maybe it's not exactly all that I thought it would be, but God, you've done something here, and I thank you for that, Lord. We accept what he gives, and we trust his plan. If there's a need in our life, we can simply ask for it. It's not selfish. It's not like you're not trusting Jesus with your life. When there are things circumstantially that are not right, we can still go to God in prayer and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me interpret this better, but also, Lord, help this situation that I'm in. Help change these circumstances that I'm in, because they're hard and they're difficult and they're painful. And let him provide. Let him be that firm foundation, that rock that Isaiah talks about, that we can truly trust him, not just with our mind, but trust him with our circumstances. So we got to change how we measure our peace. We got to allow our mind to be changed. And we simply need to trust Jesus with our circumstances. Because our peace comes from him and not from our circumstances. Worship team's going to come up and lead us in a few songs. And as we sing these songs and worship, there may be some of you here this morning that are like, okay, well, now what? Like, it's not the most feel-good, lovey-dovey message, right? It's like, my life still kind of sucks. I'm lacking peace in these areas. And I was kind of hoping that maybe there'd be a little bit of prosperity preaching here this morning, and there wasn't, because we don't do that here. What do I do now? Well, as we sing these songs and as we take time to worship and to reflect on what God has said through us, through his word here today, that we would take a moment to just pray, take a moment to rest in the work of Jesus, take a moment to think through your circumstances deeply. Where are those needs? Where are those hurts? Where are those issues? And simply bring them to Jesus. And so you can come to the altars here and kneel and pray, and just as a physical way to symbolically surrender those things to you. It's not like there's magic up here or anything like that. It's just a way to posture yourself in a way that's obedient to what he is calling you to do. But I think there's some of us here that just need to do some business with God and just surrender those circumstances, surrender ourselves to his peace, surrender our trust to his peace, and let him do a work in our heart. And so, Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for your work on the cross, for setting us free. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas and for the declaration that the angels made that there is peace for this world and for us as followers of you. And so, God, we pray and ask that you would help us see the peace that you have for us. We pray, Lord, that we would see that you are that source of peace, that we would stop looking at our circumstances as the source of our peace. And God, that we would surrender all of our whole selves to you, that we would trust you in our circumstances. And God, we pray and ask for your miracles, that you would bring peace in ways that are tangible, that we can see, that we can feel. And as we enter into this Christmas season, Lord, help us to all remain focused on you and you alone. Lord, it's so easy to get caught up in the commercialism of it all, and the presents and the baking and the whatever it is, Lord. And sometimes, God, we get so distracted that we forget about the peace that you have for us. So God, help us to see your peace and to feel it and be transformed by it here this day. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.